Original music. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. Shabbat Shalom. I am the preacher, and this is a day the Most High has made, and we should rejoice and be glad. You are tuned in to Blueprint for Life. We're going to kind of go with the old format today because we're going to cover a lot of ground since we didn't get a chance to come to you this week. This lesson is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. This is identity theft, the biggest kept secrets in the whole wide world, because once that's uncovered, it's going to unloosen the fabric of lies that have been in your life causing you to see through tainted glasses? Are you willing to relearn everything you've been taught? Are you willing to relearn everything that you've been taught? That history was some his lies, history lies. So we're committed here by the grace of Yah to what's known as in the Greek, apokalupto, the unveiling and uncovering. But if you can't become unhinged from the lies, you will die with your lies. Truth is a weighty matter. This can be shocking, but you have to be like, I'll quote Bruce Lee today. You have to be like water, willing to bend. Because when water doesn't bend, it becomes like ice, cold, and it breaks, shattered. Become lucid, rigid, and be willing to be flexible to the leading of the Ruach HaKadosh and the Spirit of Yah. Everybody's trying to even steal the prophetic aspect of the awakening throughout the world and say everybody's waking up to something, talking about this is the age of the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Get out of here with all that. Yah is waking up his people, Israel, that have been steeped in lies, and they have stolen our culture and put a spirituality on us that had nothing to do with Yah or his commandments and laws. Now, if you're going to be a part of the coming kingdom, because all we're doing is getting ready to go into birth pains, this whole world's getting ready to get dark because we're facing the end of the world as we know it, because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So you're preparing to be rebirthed by holding on to a truth in the midst of all these lies. You must be born again. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, don't get it twisted. You still got to be born again. And so with the awakening, there's a lot of deception out here. There's a lot of lies being told to mislead you. Even people that are saying they're in the truth and got you waking up on the wrong side of the bed. Scripture says, come out of her, my people, and his people are those that are called by his name. Go into the archives. We covered that. The names have been changed to hide the truth. We've got to come back to who we are as a people. We see that they're patronizing us, but it's prophetic. And our deliverance and our salvation, the onus is upon us. So with that being said, let's get prepared to go into this lesson today. We're going to have a good time, but we have got to talk to the Father first. With your heads uncovered, sisters, with your heads covered. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, we thank you that you are a deliverer. We ask for deliverance for our people, that they'll be able to shake themselves and come back to themselves during these times of biblical proportions, prophetic times. May we keep our sights on you and stay focused and look to the hills from which cometh our help. Rebuke sickness, discouragement, suicidal thoughts, homosexuality, rebellion, anger, witchcraft, spirit of Jezebel. We come against these spirits that are trying to taint and destroy our people. May we be focused on you and not the hate, but what Psalms 91 stated. We ask all these blessings in the name of Yeshua. right, welcome back to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I am Pete Preacher, all praises to the Most High. This is the Sabbath. And as you can see, the title of, I got two different lessons I'm going to talk about at the end for exhortation. One is Captivity Captive. And the other main theme for the day is keep your holiday because I'm keeping the holy day. That's what our mandate is. So as I mentioned, Health is Wealth did not get a chance to air on Wednesdays like we endeavor to do. Probably going to look to start doing most of these shows in the mornings as opposed to the evenings during the commute hours to talk to our people. Health is Wealth is so vitally important right now because we're trying to keep our temples whole because there's an all-out assault to destroy the body. So what I'm going to do, since I'm taking the old format, we're going to go over some herbs. We're going to take a pause for the calls, talk about some things to keep your immune system built up, talk about these jabbers and what they're jabbing in you, and what's really going on with this bioterrorism attack, and some of the things we're going to have to just accept, because a lot of Israel is being destroyed, and they're being destroyed in the name of Christianity, because I can't believe that even in these churches on Sundays, a lot of these pastors pause for the cause to give their congregation a shot instead of communion. And people, we're going to discuss some things because we're in a war right now. There are different fractions of secret societies that are fighting for the balance of power with what they think will be a new world order for them. And so you actually have some Mission Impossible, John Wick, undercover secret. All these politicians and world leaders have secret armies that are trying to destroy one another because some of these people are being picked up, going into military tribunals and different things like that. We're going to talk about that because the war is not going to be what you think. And I'm going to be a little prophetic today because the assault will have a lot to do with technology. Not only is technology trying to be implemented into your life through microchips, but technology will be utilized to start this war and destroy the population reduction. So you have to understand, we've been set up with this tech world and this tech boom for the destruction of this planet. They're trying to. But Yah's in control. I'm not going to get outside of Yah today. He's in control. Nothing can be done unless he allows it. So they can, through computer systems, destroy the grid, the water supply, the cattle, the food supply. And you will be seeing that coming to a theater near you this winter, this fall. And since I'm getting ready to go into health, let me move right into the fact about this variant. There is no variant, people. 5G will be turned up, and 5G is a detriment to humanity because of the level of toxic radiation coming from 5G Wi-Fi inside your home with that new phone that you're carrying around. And everyone who's gotten that shot with the amplification of 5G is going to find themselves deathly sick, really sick. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have a lot of people having sicknesses, and they're going to be ill, fatally ill, and they could because they didn't make the proper decision. So I pray that Yah have mercy on you, or maybe can heal you. But the way that that was designed, the nanoparticles were designed to go into your body, produce new spike proteins, and create a war inside your body of the spike proteins being fought by the white blood cells and trying to destroy your immune system. There's your World War III as well in your own body. And Psalms 91 made it clear that 1,000 are going to fall at your left, 10,000 at your right, but this would not come nigh your dwelling. But he was talking about the ones that did not put their salvation in an injection. You have to understand that fear is being promulgated in our society. And Yah said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind to make the right decisions, not based on fear, and know that Yeshua is your salvation, not a vaccination being your salvation. So you tried to take control of your life once again because you had anxiety, fear, tomorrow, I don't know what to do, and so you thought you would calm your anxiety by taking on the salvation of a vaccination, which you thought would, you know, secure you. Instead of trusting what Yah created, which was a healthy, strong immune system, herbs that come out of the earth that will sustain you, and the sunshine that is there to enhance you. You doubted him. And we're not supposed to doubt him. We're in a system right now where we have to trust him, trust our relationship with him, trust his promises, and be patient, as Revelation said, patiently wait on him. Here is the patience of the saints. We keep the commandments. Keeping the commandments and being diligent and enduring is establishing patience. Like, I've got a promise from my Savior and Yah that everything's going to be all right if I just keep these commandments, hold out, endure, and adhere to the statutes, laws, and commandments. That's what's going to transform me. So I'm going to go through what Yeshua told me to do, baptize, be filled with the Holy Spirit, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There might be by chance that I might be able to, through the power of the anointing of Yah, to lay hands on you with the jab because you've made yourself sick. You never put a foreign substance in your body, especially one of them being called luciferase, and I'm not going to go through all that today, and not expect to find sickness, which is of the devil, which are demon spirits. There's nothing Yah can't do. But the person who made the mistake has to acknowledge their mistake, fast and pray, and be willing. But chances are, if you're not willing to do that, there will be consequences for the decisions that you made. And I'm going to keep it real. We're going to go through it today. So let me pace myself, because I got a lot of things I want to talk about. Quite a bit, but let's start with the herbs. Let's go into this herbal segment and talk about some herbs that enhance the body. And then we're going to talk about, I want to read an article for you too as well, of things that are coming out in our society. I know I'm covering a lot of information. There's a lot to talk about. Okay, first one I want to talk about for the immune system is a berry. And it's called Schizandra. Some people say Schizandra, but no, it's Schizandra. It's S-C-H-I, Z as in zebra, A-N-D-R-A, berry. Schizandra chinensis, berry. It's $7 an ounce. So it's potent. It's even beneficial when taken with drugs that contain the ingredient acetaminophen. That's Tylenol. So this enhances it. Why? It increases your energy and it helps the body heal itself. It strengthens the digestive organs, much needed if you got the jab, and the immune system. You mean it does this? I don't have to get a shot? Right. You didn't have to get an influenza shot. Stop trusting in science and man. This is, you know why you're being repetitively beaten down with the word trust the science? And by the way, Fauci going to jail, they're throwing him under the bus. Because Paul told Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy 6, he said, beware of oppositions of science falsely called. Because he knew in the last days, people would be using, trying to utilize science, man's technology, and his means to try and understand it, but it's a deflection. It increases, let's get back to Schizandra berry, increases energy and helps the body heal itself, strengthens the digestive organs and the immune system. It protects against free radical damage and viral and bacterial infections. It has been very beneficial for protecting the liver from all toxins. So internally, you can use it for aging, to keep you young, diabetes, fatigue, impotency, mental alertness. It sounds like it's what's needed right now with the threat of dementia. And they're trying to, sterilize all the young people. There's a vicious attack upon the genitals and the organs of our young people so that they won't repopulate the earth and keep bringing babies here. They're not going to be able to make babies. This thing Cassandra Berry deals with impotency and mental alertness. You don't have to go get Prevagen and Nereva. There are herbs out here that can help the mind. One of them is oil of rosemary and coconut oil for the mind. And there's many more. We also use one called ginkgo biloba. So these are different herbs that can strengthen the mind outside of God knows what's inside of Prevagen and Nereva. It's science again. And everything man makes has side effects. Listen, this Cassandra Berry also deals with nervous disorders, gastritis, coughing, edema, insomnia, kidney, lung problems, and hepatitis. Sounds like a miracle herb to me, which is why it costs so much. And when they overprice it in the stores, they don't want you to get your hands on it. And I would say go get your hands on it right away. For you older gentlemen, I want to tell you about saw palmetto berries. It's a tissue builder as it stimulates the appetite and increases assimilation of the nutrients that you're taking. A specific for genitourinary disorders, and it has also helped to build strength during periods of convalescence, meaning it's something that older men should be taking when we get into our 60s, 70s, and 80s, our convalescence, these periods, so because we start to get weak, our urinary tract, and different things like that. So I implore you to start now if you're in your 40s and 50s so that you could have a functioning, adult, just a functioning adulthood. You want to have a quality of life. And I see many people that are healthy. They even have muscle tone and are cut in their 70s and 80s still. And you can go out with a bang. And we want you to be strong and be vital so that you can maneuver in this climate before we get into Jacob's trouble and the things that are coming on this earth. You're going to need to hustle and move around. And also be prepared for when the Most High comes to get his people, gather his people. Let me go through one more. And then I want to read some of these articles to you. The one I want to go through is called Barberry Root. Next week on Wednesday, Most High willing, we're going to cover mushrooms. And we're going to be topically oriented on particular herbs. And if you're dealing, and you'll be able to call in too. I'm asking you to call in on Wednesdays so that we can help each other, not just with remedies, but with the vitamins, what it does, or if you're suffering from something in particular, we can go directly to the herb that will begin to benefit you. And what you have to do is be patient when you're taking herbs. It's not an overnight cure. It's not a Motrin that you're taking that's going to kick in 15 minutes. Those are drugs made by man, pharmaceutical industry, pharmakia. Did you know that they started asking senior citizens to not take Aleve and ibuprofen because it causes heart problems and heart inflammation long term? So when you get in the habit of taking ibuprofen every day, you're doing damage to your heart and your tissues, and you're going to pay a severe price in your latter days for that? I know for a fact, because I saw it happen with my loved one, addicted to too many pharmaceutical medicines. And the Bible tells us, the etymology of words, pharmaceutical industry, pharmaceutical comes from pharmacy, which is the Greek pharmakia, which means sorcery. It's witchcraft. You become addicted to that for a means of relief. So you want to take the quick route. And you're saying that you'll ignore the side effects because you need relief. Well, you've got to start now, taking care of your body so you feel good in the morning, cutting back on the coffee and drinking teas, and taking these supplements every day. It might be a little chore, a little task to take 15 supplements or just drink 3 or 4 tinctures, but you do your body a favor. And when your body's healthy, your spirit thrives. You can address the things of soul and spirit. When you're sick, all you want is relief. It's a distraction because Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. barberry root. Let me cover that real quick. One second. I'm sorry. It's bayberry, and I believe I have barberry. Give me one second. There's a bayberry root bark, and then there's the barberry root. So let me give you both of them because they're both good for the liver. And the liver is a key organ in your body that cleanses and detoxes. And you're not just cleansing and detoxing thinking that you're damaging yourself from alcohol. No, there are toxins in the air through the chemtrails and the food you're eating. And your kidneys and liver are trying to push out and filter out all of these toxins that you unknowingly are eating and consuming and breathing in. Help your body out. Do it a favor. First one, as I mentioned, was bayberry, bayberry root, and it's a cleansing tonic for the liver and the alimentary tract. Tones and promotes glandular activity, and it's a uterine tonic. It's loaded with vitamins A, B1, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, and potassium. It has been used for increasing circulation and toning of the arterial and capillary tissues. It has also helped to stop hemorrhage of the bowels, lungs, uterus, decreases profuse menstrual flow, something that's happening to women who are just around people who got vaccinated. You've heard the reports because of the spike proteins and the shedding that's going on. It says use with cayenne for the female organs. Other uses, adrenal weaknesses for colds, cholera, congestion, diarrhea, dysentery, endometriosis, fevers, female problems, flu, glands, goiters, hemorrhages, hepatitis, indigestion, miscarriages, and sinusitis. Amazing what Yah has created for his people. Barberry root helps with sclerosis of the liver. Loaded with the same minerals and vitamins. And it's been used for biliousness, liver trouble, loss of appetite, enlarged spleen, constipation, jaundice, diarrhea, anemia, and blood building. It is especially powerful for correcting liver disorders by helping the bile to flow more freely. For a mild dose, it is a laxative, and in larger doses, a purgative, a tonic for debilitating conditions. It regulates your digestive system, and it also has been used for high blood pressure, dysentery, fevers, sluggishness, indigestion problems, syphilis, and typhoid fever. Also helps to cleanse parasites, psoriasis, vaginitis. Now, real quick, I'm going to give you a list of things that you can use to help. I've talked about this last week on Health as Well. For those who've already got the jab and you know you made a mistake, go pray, go fast, go repent for not trusting Yah, and then your life is going to be tough. You're going to be fighting illness and sickness. I'm about to give you some statistics real quick, too. Your life is going to be tough because of how I broke down what's going to happen in the body over time, and it's irreversible. But there are some herbs that might assist in your healing if Yah decides to heal you for what you've done. One of them is bentonite clay. Very important. I'll talk about it again next week and break it down. Right now, I'm just going to give you the names. Bentonite clay, it's going to have to be daily. Another mineral called NAC, N-acetylcysteine, daily. And another one being colloidal silver, the spray, daily, along with your supplements and your teas. And here is a big one. It's a tea. It's a serum. It's used in Africa. This might actually cure. Well, it'll assist with your cure. And it's white pine needle tea, daily. It is one of the cures. They suppressed hydroxychloroquine because it cured this little so-called COVID Also, ivermectin. They hid it. Won't even allow the doctors or pharmacies to put it out. It cures. You don't have to fear something that has a 0.01 death rate. And it's only for those who have not desired to be healthy, eating fried chicken every day and eating too much red meat, processed foods, and have underlying conditions that you have not worked on in the past to get rid of, and you depend upon pharmaceutical medicine. Those were the 0.01%. And then there were people that really died of other comorbidities, but they put on the certificate that it was COVID-19 and paid the hospital extra money for doing so. Lose your fear, people. Either you trust in Yah or you don't. And the unfortunate thing is that you've been in church your whole life and all you learned about was the Word of Faith movement. And the Word of Faith movement was designed to throw you off. So you did not learn the Word. You learned a type of form of witchcraft to believe in a force that could manipulate God. And it don't work like that. And all you did use your faith for was you was hoping to get material things to appease your flesh. Nobody even wanted faith for the purpose of healing the sick and raising the dead or for converting the soul of men and making disciples like Yeshua told us to do. So those of you in the church under the guise of Christianity lost your focus. And you're going to find out in a few seconds how Spanish Inquisition, along with the Catholic Church, forced us to leave our belief in our God and to accept Christianity. And if we didn't accept it, we were to be killed. And being the cowards that we were, and I'll tell you why we were cowards, because we knew we were in trouble with Yah, because in Deuteronomy 28, he warned us, and Moses warned us throughout our generations, that if you don't keep these commandments, this is what's going to happen to you. And as it began to unfold, we became a frightened people and still are till this day. Talk about this jab. If you go to gov.uk, there's a weekly report covering adverse effects, because you're not going to get this stuff in the United States. So I'm going to give you some stats from March 4th, 2021 about what has transpired since taking that shot. I've already given you some things to do, so don't despair. There's been 2,033 blood disorders, 1,000 cardiac disorders, 3 congenital disorders, 713 hearing disorders, 10 endocrine disorders, 1,200 eye disorders, 9,000 gastrointestinal disorders, 26,000 general disorders, 17 liver disorders, immune system disorders, 500, infections, 1,800, injuries, 400. Metabolic disorders, 5,000. Muscle tissue disorders, 11,000. Nervous system disorders, 16,000. And the list goes on. The list goes on. Let me read something else for you. Bear with me. I'm going to read something from Deborah Hine. H-E-I-N-E, from henrymaco.com. And people snitching on each other right now. We're living in a climate of snitches. Everybody's telling each other. And this Dr. Peter McCullough, M.D., he's an internist, a cardiologist, and an epidemiologist, and a professor of medicine. The pandemic was planned and is a crime against humanity. We have now a whistleblower inside the CMS, and we have 2 whistleblowers in the CDC. The doctor revealed we think we had 50,000 dead Americans and 50,000 deaths. So we actually have more deaths due to the vaccine per day than certainly the viral illness by far. It's basically propagandized bioterrorism by injection. Dr. Peter McCullough, an American professor of medicine and vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor University, declared that the world has been subjected to a form of bioterrorism and that the suppression of early treatments to COVID-19, such as hydroxychloroquine, was tightly linked to the development of a vaccine. He made these explosive comments during a webinar on June 11th. And Dr. Rainer Fulmich, a German trial lawyer who believes the pandemic was planned and is a crime against humanity. He said he believes that bioterrorism has come in two stages, the first wave being the rollout of the virus and the second, the rollout of the vaccines, which he said may already be responsible for the deaths of up to 50,000 Americans. The first wave of bioterrorism is a respiratory virus that spread across the world. So he goes on to talk about how he's treated many patients. This is the terrorist attack that we're experiencing, people. And that's as far as I'm going to read on that. I'll get more into this article next week, most high willing, on Wednesday, about those statistics, what's happening all around us. I implore you, please, don't put your salvation in an injection. Have trust in Yah. Wait on Yah. The propaganda from the media you subject yourself to, and the censorship that's not making it easy for the lazy, who don't seek out information and research and look for alternative means, because when the next hit comes, they will, with the bioterrorism attack, and destroy the grid, the internet will be down. You will not be able to communicate with loved ones or get the information. You got to get it now. Fill your house up with, you know, herbs, water. And let me say something. That's not fear. Because in the word, Yah spoke to Joseph while he was in Egypt and gave him a plan for what was coming and told him to store grain. And everyone who was without came to Joseph. He would give them little bits to help maintain and sustain them from the wisdom that Yah gave him and his obedience. You better believe, because your faith is not strong enough to be like Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Many of you all's relationship with Yah is not there because you've gotten comfortable with Christianity and other false religions that were created to take you away from the worship of your God that comes through your culture. I've posted many times that all of these religions and religious bondage and deception were started by Freemasons of another nation. I'll leave it at that. Amalek, Rome, Esau, Edomites, Caucasus Mountains, progenitors of false religions to put you up under the umbrella to keep you away from your God, Most High Yah, and to keep you from coming back to your culture, which is steeped in spirituality, as you are a chosen people that were put on this earth to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and to reflect the image you were created in and have that shadow power. Hallelujah. Right. That was our health segment. Glad we got a chance to get some of that in, because we're conquering Satan from all fronts. We're trying to destroy him and reveal truth, because the truth will make you free. Let's move into the historical component of this show, this lesson, and that is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. If you want to go with me there, we're going to get into some history as we are restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. I'm going to play an excerpt from The Middle Passage and Black Latin America, a documentary on YouTube. I just want to play a short excerpt from that in a second. But before I do so, you know, one of the lessons that we're going to talk about is, you know, you keep your holiday. I'm busy keeping the holy day. Now, if you look at the page, I posted there something that a lot of people did not know, because you're being patronized and being played. Let's understand that there'll be no reparations, and Most High said so in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Made it clear, no man shall buy you, no man shall save you. You know, what will happen if you get a lot of money? You're going to get comfortable in your captivity and not long for your home, land, which was taken from you. You won't long for salvation and restoration because you'll be like, I'm going to be able to live this American dream. When he said, come out of her, my people. Be ye separate, be Kodesh, be sanctified. We're just pilgrims passing through. Now, did you know that when slavery ended in the United States, slave owners received reparations immediately from the government for losing their property? And the property they received reparations for was you. And they give you a holiday, but they got paid off for you. So they have generational wealth. They had it from the businesses we built. You shouldn't even be wearing Levi jeans. We built that business. And if you look at the trademark of Levi, they changed it somewhere back in the 60s. The trademark was two horses ripping a Negro apart, tied to two different horses, and let the two horses rip him apart. And that's the logo on the jeans. We built that company through slavery and picking cotton. And then they mocked us on the back of the jeans. And then after we became free, Juneteenth, they paid every white person off and gave them money since they had to release us. That's what how they, you know, said it's going to be okay. We're going to give you money for taking your property because you and your children were considered property to these slave owners. So they got their reparations. Constant generational wealth based on your back, but also based on your sins, the sins of our forefathers, and the sins we continue to commit. We're praying for our generation because they don't even want to acknowledge Yah anymore, and they're so disrespectful to their parents because the love of many has waxed cold because they don't know how to navigate spiritually through this terrain because they definitely don't want to identify with Pastor Porkchop who's pimping inside the church and all the whoring and whoremongering and adultery that's going on inside the Christian church on Sundays. All they see is hypocrisy to the point of disbelief in Yah. So we see this disproportional wealth and how it happened. And you sitting around here asking, you know, they just put a carrot in front of your face and you're asking for reparations and money. Yeah, it would be nice, but nice for what? To get comfortable? Even though we are the indigenous people and we should just take over this land because we built it. Looking at a documentary just last night about McKesson, I believe it was. They were busy building while Martin Luther King was marching to get us to unite with these other nations, which we didn't need to do. We should have just kept the Tulsa paradigm. And Martin Luther King, he found out, he knew he was wrong, and he said it, and he was killed shortly after that because somebody gave him some information that we were the indigenous of the land. And I'm going to read some of that in a minute. And that all the indigenous people were destroyed during the Spanish Inquisition and started to mate with us, blend with us, create other races, other nations, and the serpent seed trying to intermingle with Yah seed. There's a bunch of foolishness out here. So they begin to ask for reparations based on that, but it's not coming, people. Yah forbid, it's not coming because you will get comfortable in the land of your captivity and continue in your sins and not draw nigh to Yah. We're going to have to humble ourselves because there will only be a remnant. And we do know, according to Obadiah and some other books in the Bible, that 2/3 of our people will be destroyed. All your rebels will be purged out when we go into the wilderness based upon revelations because there's an unruliness about our people. We mentally, through the Willie Lynch letters and laws and castrations and beatings, fear, psychosis, we've been jacked up psychologically. Have a codependency on drugs and fear, apprehension, and denial of spirituality, and we are morally bankrupt. Brothers and sisters, Solomon said, the wisest man in the world, said, look, I went and did everything there is to do. I had 1,000 wives. I had concubines. I had it all. I saw it all. He said, and to the writing of books, there's no end and learning. Shit's going to go on forever. It's going to wear you out. He said, what I've learned with all my money and my wisdom and my time and my indulgence and everything in the world. This is in Ecclesiastes, the 13th chapter. He said, at the end of the day, we must fear Yah and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. He put that in scripture. Let me get the exact scripture for you real quick. Let me read it verbatim for you. Because that's what this lesson is about when we get together on the Sabbath. Shabbat is for us to encourage and exhort one another, focus on Yah, his goodness. So actually, it's Ecclesiastes 12, and it's the 13th verse. I had it backwards. I said 13 and 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end. And much study, it's a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing you creeping and doing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You're going to be judged on it. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight as well. He said at the end of the day, you better fear Yah and keep his commandments. That's the blueprint for life, brothers and sisters. That is your blueprint for life. If we could focus on the moral commandments, which are the Ten Commandments, which is why they've been ripped out of buildings, because Satan is just going all out. He knows that will save you and keep you. And then he's got these charlatans and false prophets and lying preachers telling you that you don't have to keep them. Those are ministers of Satan. That's telling you just live under grace. You know what that means? Do anything you want. Same thing Jay-Z saying. Wearing that Aleister Crowley shirt, you only live once. Do what thou wilt. You don't have to feel guilty for anything you do. They're trying to get you to suppress your own conscience, which is the Holy Spirit who walk at work in the atmosphere, still causing a consciousness. Did you know inside that injection, there's a chemical? Back in 2006, Bill Gates was talking about how they've isolated the God gene and they know how to go in and cause that gene to dissipate within your frontal lobe so that you don't have a passion for spirituality. People about to be walking zombies, not knowing where they are, because the spike proteins are going to penetrate the blood-brain barrier, and those neurons that fire up when you pray and meditate, they're going to be numb, null and void. Back to the lecture at hand. Reparations were paid for you to those people after you built up their kingdom, built their White Houses, their state capitals in slavery. And you happy with a holiday? Don't you know that the AAPI bill, so you'll stop hating on Asians, was passed in 30 days, but you still have lynching laws on the books, and every time they go to vote and get rid of it, it won't pass by the Senate? And the Republicans, they refuse to take it off the books so they can still hang you. The Voting Rights Act, having to look at it every few years to decide if they're going to keep letting black folks vote. Do you know you are hated here? Do you know who your enemy is? And you know, the scripture said, never trust thine enemy. There's been a lot of intermingling, so I'm not going to get deep into that, because he said, don't try to separate the wheat and the tare. He said, when I come, I'll do that. Focus on you and what I told you to do, and when the separation time comes, which is beginning to take place now, I'm going to separate the wheat from the tare. What does that mean? The enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat, which is Israel, his people, his real people, the real indigenous people. Blended in, created all types of different races and nations and mixes and hybrids. What you've done is tried to sow Satan's seed with Yah's seed. Iron don't mix with clay. And he's going to separate in due time. After he separated in the New Testament the wheat from the tare and the goats from the sheep, he told the sheep, enter in, his people. And the sheep were saying, why did we get to enter in? He said, because when I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. You're like, how did we do this? He said, such as you've done unto the least of them, you've done also unto me. So what he was saying is that we as wheat that are waiting patiently for him must also take care of the less fortunate, our brothers and sisters who are in need. Now, I'm not talking about helping those who are unrepentant or who are not of us, because the Apocrypha made it clear. Don't bless your enemy lest he get ahead of you and take advantage of you and try to destroy you. I tell people all the time that you don't bless no mess. I'm not going to strengthen you to continue in your sin. You know when you got a cousin or family member who's an alcoholic, you don't go give him $1,000. He's going to drink himself to death. You don't go find your family member that's on crack and try to give them $1,000, if they're going to smoke themselves to death. You have to, if anything, you've got to take the way of the disciples and say, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'm about to give to you, which is this anointing, and get that monkey off your back of alcohol, drugs, sex, and perversion. Be set free in the name of Yeshua. It's the best thing you could do for him. And then, once you've strengthened the spirit, you can strengthen the physical, and we position them. That's what the weed does. So I'm just telling you how to occupy while you're trying to restore your morality. Let me go into something else. We're covering a lot of territory today, but we're going to get into the lesson. Also, I talked about on the Black Cultural Restoration Association page, Maryland.gov, MSA.Maryland.gov, Blacks Before the Law in Colonial Maryland. Just some facts, some history. I'm going to read just a little bit of Chapter 3. Freedom or Bondage, the Legislative Record. Although Maryland colonists practiced Negro slavery as early as the 1640s, they did not give it legislative sanction until 1664. There were several reasons why the first slave law should have come at that particular time. Perhaps the most important factor was the rapidly rising number of Africans in the colony, Hebrews. In 1640, the black population had been a mere 20 individuals in a non-Indian northern tribes. Population of about 600. In 1660, the number of blacks had risen to 760 out of 8,500. Thus, during those two decades, the ratio of blacks to whites had narrowed from 1 in 30 to 1 in 10. And blacks were more visible element in society than they had formerly been. The law is finally adopted, and it had four provisions, which may be summarized as follows. All Negroes or other slaves, whether already in the province, are to be importated later, were to serve durante vita. All children born of any black or other slave were to be slaves as their fathers. And to discourage dives, freeborn English women who forgetful of their free condition and to the disgrace of our nation, married slaves, thus inconveniencing courts and masters with legal debates over the status of the offspring, mixed kids. Any free woman, well, they're also talking about those that were already free, because a lot of us were here before slavery and we were free, but then we became indentured servants. Any free woman so marrying after the act's passage was to serve her husband's master during her husband's lifetime. And you just happy about a holiday. To further discourage such marriages, the children of matches contracted after the act's passage were to be slaves as their fathers were. The children of such marriages contracted before the act's passage were to serve their parents' masters until they reached the age of 31. There's so much to this article. I'm just going to encourage you to go ahead and pull it up on the internet and read it. I'll give you a few more points before I pull away from this article. Any non-servant free-born white woman who married a black man was to become a servant of her church parish for 7 years. Here it is again, Christian church. Some of the first slave owners, after church on Sunday, they'd go hang. They'd have a picnic, right? Hang him, burn him, and cut off body parts as souvenirs. Kids amazed. Oh, wow, it's great. We've gone through so much, people, for our disobedience to Yah. Man, we've suffered. You're just thinking about your generation, but do you know the godlessness, horrendous crimes committed against our forefathers, the atrocities? It was like only 5% of those that were on those ships even survived the voyage of this transatlantic slave trade. Do you know we were literally stacked on each other? Couldn't stand up, no moving around, no going to the bathroom. You were just stacked in there. Oh, my God. The smell, the stench, the disease. Here's another one. If the woman was a servant, she was to serve out her remaining time with additions for time lost due to pregnancies. And then she was to become a servant to the parish for 7 years, provided the match was not forced upon her by her master. Children of mixed marriages were to be servants of the parish for 21 years. We're talking about the church, the little Christian churches they created in the United States. You know, these pilgrims. If the miscegenating couple was not married, the woman was to suffer the 7-year penalty. The child was to serve for 21 years, but the husband, if free, was only to serve for 7 years instead of life. The same penalties befalling a white woman as detailed above were to apply to any white man begetting any black woman with a child. So they'd be like, okay, you want to be a black lover, you're going to become a slave too. This is why I'm saying all the mixing of races, Yah's going to have to come separate and work this all out and figure out who's of what tribe and who's going in. And there will be some remnants of other nations that will make it in, but they're not going into the gates, into the kingdom, as spoken of in Revelation 22 and 14. They're going to be on the outer court, because for the most part, all of the Edomites will be destroyed, and all of the wicked, and all of them that worship fallen deities and other gods will be destroyed. If it says that if the other nations who are trying to be grafted in come into the knowledge of what's happening, they're to cleave to Israel, the original Hebrew. And if they bless Israel, then they will be blessed. But the thing is, they've been deceived. They think sending money over there to Netanyahu and now Naftali is what's going to bless them. No, you're blessing the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. The deceptors who are products of the Balfour Treaty. Now I'm starting to understand why they considered going down into the southern mid part of Africa as opposed to going to where what's known as the Middle East, which is also Africa now. They were debating after the Balfour Treaty which two areas they should go to. It's because there's something being hidden from us inside of southern mid to southern Africa that you don't know about. I'm not going to get into that right now, so do your study. This is a very interesting article, and you should read it so you can understand about the mixing of the races with slaves and Christianity playing a part in slavery, and this is in the 1600s. I'll give you the website one more time, msa.maryland.gov. That was only an excerpt from out of chapter 3. I wish I had time to read all of it to you, but not today, maybe some other time. Know that the Ashkenaz fake Zionist people who don't even believe in Yeshua, Yeshah, or Yah, our God, are Gentiles. Walking around with tzitzits, little stringy Shirley Temple curls and beards and hats and yarmulkes. I don't know who these people are. They are from the Isle of the Gentiles. You can read that in Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis, the 6th chapter. And break it all down. Real quick, we also covered history. We like to give props out to our people. Ingenious. Created everything in America. Created so many things, and they stole every one of your patents. Put a white man's name on it. Did you know that Crest toothpaste, Folgers coffee, Bounce fabric softener, Safeguard soap, all created by a black man, Dr. Herbert Smitherman, who has a PhD in physical organic chemistry, was a pioneering executive and professional chemist. And if you go into another article, you have a Jewish man, a man who wishes he was a Jew. And his name is, they put Rabbi Shapiro, but did you know the Bible made it clear, call no man rabbi or father. And don't you dare call him reverend, because that's in the book of Psalms. There's only one called reverend, and who is to be revered and given reverence, and that's Yah. That is blasphemy to be calling somebody reverend so-and-so. And he eating all the pork ribs in the world and sleeping with every woman in his little congregation. And you quick to hear him say, this is my church. It sure is. Anyway, this Shapiro guy said that Africans are the root of Israel and that we have lost our identity. But what he goes into in this article, and I want you to read this, watch the video, it's only 5 minutes. He said, we lost our identity by way of the church. The church helped us to lose our identity. You got to think about the mindset of being out in those fields picking cotton every day for 18 hours, working servitude. But then the twistedness of these Amalekites, Romans, your enemies, will let you be free on Sunday, helio worship. You worship this white image of Jesus, we're going to give you 5 hours to be free out the fields. You can go in church and sing and do what you got to do and worship our God that looks like us, the image that we portray. And so we figured, we took it as a break. Oh, God, we get a break from the field. It's definitely mind control. So they forced and steeped Christianity on you. You saw it when they beat Kunta Kinte to make him lose his language, his name. And they had to kill off about 4 or 5 generations before they were able to cause us to forget the languages, the songs, Kumbaya, and the rivers of Jordan, Zion. They made sure they killed off all those generations until they got rid of that language and memories and stories, which is why they didn't want us understanding the language or getting together to tell the stories. And still today, if they see 3 of y'all in a corner together, they think it's an NAACP meeting. So I want you to hear this video because he makes it clear that a part of losing our identity was we utilized the church for that. You're going to have to get that Christianity up out of you and relearn and humble yourself. And you pastors that are just arrogant, can't learn nothing. You love to talk like you had breakfast with Yah, because it's definitely not Yah. You talk to your congregation like you just so eloquently, your etiquette is just off the chain, and that you have breakfast with God every morning and you want them to worship you and my pastor. That's what's been going on. You're going to have to humble yourself and relearn. I don't care about your degrees, your letters of learning from letters of learning from these institutions where the curriculum was designed to enslave you and make sure you continue to enslave people. This is ludicrous. Zephaniah 3:9-12. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yah to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Cush, Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shall thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yah. Let's go to a clip from the documentary, The Middle Passage, and it's going to break down the Spanish Empire and what they did with Christianity.
Not only did the Spanish Empire play an important role in the Americas, but the Spanish colonies have a much broader history than their British, French, Dutch, or Portuguese counterparts. The Spanish involvement in the trade was so great, it impacted all other European countries involved in the trade. It took captives from almost all African slave regions, orchestrated and transported enslaved Africans to almost all of the American colonies. Not only was it a major source of African slaves in the overseas transatlantic trade, but it also dominated in the intra-American traffic that later became a primary source of slaves. During this period, Spain was an enormous global power whose link between economics and slavery made it the most important political entity in the Americas, with political decrees within the Spanish court, assisted by religious edicts by the Catholic Church. The slave trade expanded and prospered. The kingdoms of Portugal and Spain had been posturing for possession of the African coast.
Let me highlight that it was the Catholic Church that empowered with its edicts to Spain and told them it's okay to go and enslave these people. Catholic Church is, the Christian Church is a spawn of the Catholic Church. So in the reformist movement through Martin Luther, and he established the Protestant offshoots of the Catholic Church. So this whole doctrine of religion and this Christianity that spawns from Catholic Church is what played a major part in the transatlantic slave trade, which is why they already had the good ship Jesus ready for the slaves. They named all these ships. And you're going to hear that the slaves, when they saw these ships, they were in horror, pending doom. Many of them tried to kill themselves. So they made slave ships with nets because they were trying to jump and wanted the sharks to eat them. They did not want to go into what captivity they were getting ready to go into. And we are aware of that happened to our people. Let's listen to some more of this.
And colonial territories for more than a century. Believing that the Catholic Church could resolve these disputes, each sought and obtained papal bulls to support its claims. In the mid-15th century, the Pope gave the Portuguese the right to explore Africa. Later, he gave them the right to enslave anyone who was not practicing the Christian religion.
There you go, right there. How is the Pope going to give Spain and Portugal all these people to go get slaves and kill them and make them slaves if they don't convert to Christianity? Do your history, folks. Let me let you hear the rest of this.
This was done with the papal bull, Dum Diversus.
The papacy.
In 1452.
Mm-hmm.
This papal bull authorized the enslavement of Muslims, pagans, and other non-Christians, while the Romanus, Pontifex, and the Inter Cajetera laid the foundations for mercantilism and the transatlantic slave trade. The papal bull Romanus Pontifex, 1455, is an important example of the papacy's claim to spiritual lordship of the whole world and of its role in regulating relations between Christians and non-Christians. In the long struggle between Portugal and Spain, this was an important decree because it settled the matter in favor of Portugal. Portugal's claim to land in the New World was based on this bull. However, the bull Inter Cajetera, 1493, was highly favorable to Spain. This revised bull drew a line of demarcation and assigned to Spain the exclusive right to acquire territorial possessions west of the line. But crucial to this bull was that all persons were forbidden to approach the lands west of the line without special license and consent from the Royal Court of Spain. The Spanish Empire was one of the first European empires to actually unify politics and religion. Spanish Jews were forced to convert to Catholicism, and those that did not convert were arrested, imprisoned, or executed. Later, an edict was declared that Moors must convert to Catholicism or be exiled.
So the Moors were us, and we had this Moorish sovereignty. King James, Tyndale, there was a time, in the Dark Ages, before the Renaissance period, which this is ushering in, at the behest of the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church, who has its own army. And we're gonna, I'm going to read Revelation, the 17th chapter, that warned us of the great harlot. Let me read it. Then one of the seven angels, Revelation 17, 1 through 2, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. In the prophecies of Daniel, the 10-horned wild beast is the fourth Gentile empire, or the Roman. No city ruled the Roman Empire but Rome. And then you have the Jesuits are the controlling power of the Roman scarlet beast. One of the Jesuits is the Pope Francis right now. And they are at work forcing people into the false Christianity. They will kill you. They control Muslims. They created Islam. This is all about working for Satan. The Catholic Church is Satan. And the Catholic Church is calling back her daughters. Her daughters are all the Christian variants, all the religious variants throughout the world. Foursquare, Seventh-day Adventists, Pentecostal, Baptists. You're already calling back all the churches that came out of the protest Protestant movement. The scarlet represents the blood that they have shed during the Inquisition of the killing of the followers of Yeshua. They proclaim the blasphemous name of the Society of Yeshua, but they are really the Society of Satan. Revelation 17 and 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious and stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. That's why you got Free Case Ray and them wearing purple and all the whole world singing Purple Rain. This is the worship of Satan that the Catholic Church is putting out there and getting everybody to convert to Christianity. We're not Christians, people. And Christianity is not in our Hebrew manuscript that this world falsely calls a Bible, which comes from the word biblios, which means tree bark. That's why you see the color for the bishops and other prelates is purple. For cardinals, it's scarlet. The pectoral cross should be made of gold and decorated with gems. Revelation 17 and 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. They are called Mystery Babylon the Great because they pretend to be Christian, but they're really Babylonian religion of sun and Satan worship. Sun worship, Sunday. They tricked you. They're worshiping Satan. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, Satan promised he was going to deceive the world and have everybody worshiping him. To be called a pope is to be a replacement for Christ, vicar of Christ. It's blasphemous. That's why there's so much idolatry inside of their temples and their churches. And you think you're better than them because you got an altar of wood and a cross on your wall. You're doing the same thing. They have created all the major false religions, including Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, New Age movement, which the Word of Faith falls under. The Catechism of the Catholic Church proclaims that they are the mother and the authors of salvation, the teacher in the faith, and the head of all believers, which is an abomination. I'm going to leave it at that. Let's listen to some more of this.
Under the rule of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, the slave trade in Spain was closely regulated and controlled. Laws existed concerning the sources of slaves, their conditions, and possible liberation. However, it was Queen Isabella who also approved the edict entitled La Encomienda, a system that started the practice of forced unpaid slavery upon indigenous peoples. Originally, the Encomienda system was a method of rewarding soldiers and financial backers who fought against and helped conquer the Moors before they were exiled. This right was formally protected by the Spanish crown and permitted encomienderos to extract free labor and tribute from conquered people who were considered vassals of the crown. In turn, these soldiers and financial backers were required to ensure that natives were given instruction in the Catholic faith, the Spanish language, and protected from other warring tribes and pirates. The Spanish crown awarded these licenses as a grant to particular individuals. It was held as a monopoly on the labor of particular groups of indigenous people and was in perpetuity.
Let me say this. So I hope you understand that forced slavery was synonymous with forced Christianity. So if Christianity is synonymous with slavery, then your Juneteenth don't mean nothing because you're still a Christian. With a Christian mindset, which was forced upon you and beat upon you, and it was a part of your killing. Millions were killed during the Spanish Inquisition. Catholic Church gave the kings of Spain and Europe permission to enslave us and force us to keep their religion and serve their God. Then they created the image, whitewashed all of our images. Oh, my goodness. Are you starting to wake up now? Let's listen to some more of this before we get into our lesson.
To the holder and his or her descendants. In many cases, natives were forced to do hard labor and subjected to extreme punishment and death if they resisted. Later, the Spanish crown reformed the encomienda laws, restricting the holding of the grant to only two generations instead of perpetuity. When the crown tried to implement the policy, Spanish landholders rebelled against the crown. When Charles V became the king of Spain, he inherited an enormous empire that was beset with many external as well as internal problems. The collection of both his European and American territories was enormously vast. His inheritance included the realms of Austria and Spain, the Netherlands, French Burgundy, dominions of the Holy Roman Empire, from Germany to northern Italy, and the southern Italian kingdoms of Naples, Sicily, and Sardinia.
Okay, I'm not going to go into any more of that. It's a lot of history. What I wanted to establish was how the Catholic Church and the Christian faith inculcated this form of slavery. And then you see how the Catholic Church was drawing the lines of demarcation of what the slave channel should be and who would control what. So this war I told you about earlier that's taking place right now, it's the Catholic Church is still fighting Rome against the Zionist Jews who want to control the banking system and the people. So there's a hidden, dark, deep cabal war going on with the Jesuits and the protocols of Zion and the Zionist Jews. The people, and you out kicking it, how much you got a holiday and we're advancing? It's going to take Yah and the coming back to the commandments to get past this. Let me read something from The View of the Hebrews by Ethan Smith, written in the 1800s. And this was something that Columbus said about the indigenous people. De las Casas, who spent much time in New Spain, says of the natives, did they not receive the Spaniards who first came among them with gentleness and humanity? Did they not show more joy in proportion in lavishing treasures upon them than the Spaniards did, greediness in receiving them? By our avarice was not yet satisfied. Though they gave up to us their lands, talk about the indigenous, we just giving them everything they came. Friendly, nice people. You know, y'all still be letting them folks walk up in your house and come over and everything. though they gave up to us their lands and their riches, we would take from them also their wives, their children, and their liberties. This is the Spanish talking about what they took from us, the indigenous that were already in this land called America. We've covered that in the past of how the northern tribe was already scattered throughout the diaspora before the southern tribe was scattered through the transatlantic slave trade. But let's listen to this Inquisition. To blacken the character of these people, the Spanish, their enemies, assert that they are scarce human. But it is we, as the author Ethan Smith, who ought to blush for having been less men and more barbarous than they were. These people are evil, barbarous. They're not indigenous to any land in the world. They conquer, divide, and kill, and try to blend in. They have no homeland. They are not the indigenous. These are the seed of Satan. Let's see. The natives are said to be free from the European vices of blasphemy, swearing, treachery in peace, and similar vices. Columbus, enamored with what he saw among these people, declared in a communication to the King and Queen of Spain that there is not a better people in the world than these. They're more affectionate, affable, and mild. They love their neighbor as themselves. They always speak smiling, amazed at the people of Yah. That's enough of the history from the BCRA. When we come back, let's get some precepts and get into some scriptures. Stay here with me. On the track singing, and we're trying to get back to Mount Zion, because that is the homeland, a new heaven and a new earth. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that you don't have to fear what's coming on this earth. It's a transferring of wealth and of the power. We're being prepared for that now. Check this out. It's all about Zion. Is the true Hebrews Israel, and he's coming back for us, and there's a kingdom for us. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I'm V the Preacher, and you can find that music on YouTube if you know my name. If you don't know my name, email me, because you ain't getting it right now. Let's get into it. You can, I got two parts I'm getting ready to cover right now. We're going to get this done in just a few minutes. You can keep your holiday. I'm keeping the holy day. And if you've been tuned in, you understand that it's a distraction and a deflection and the dangling of a carrot in front of your face, because they won't take laws off the book that can still lynch you, and they won't change the Voting Rights Act. They're not going to pay you reparations, but they'll give you a holiday, because the real enslavement is the religious mindset, the Christianity, and the fear. Mind control has taken place. And furthermore, they constantly getting you to break Yah's commandments that put you in the kingdom. And I'm in reference to the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day, not Sunday, not your church, not false Christianity. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. In order to keep it holy, we have mandates that we're supposed to keep on the Sabbath. So you've been tricked once again to get you to go out and break the Sabbath and do the things that you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath just because it's Juneteenth. To make you think you're free by revisiting one of the worst atrocities to ever befall our people, which is a result of the curses from Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. I'm going to go into those in a second, but let me cover some of the Sabbath for you, because trust me, I'm enjoying my Sabbath. And I'm not worried about what you claiming you set me free from that you're going to acknowledge it on that day, because that's a falsivity. It's a falsehood. Hence, our people still being killed, destroyed, killing each other, Willie Lynch syndrome on ourselves. People fleeing Chicago and Groves because there's already been 300 deaths this year in Chicago. They're on par for breaking the record of 600 to 700 deaths. We're not free. And the mindset, we're not free. And when you revisit things, it's a way of reestablishing the trauma, which causes you to relive it. I don't need to go see what you claiming we're free from. And then you start playing all these slave movies. This is you reliving the trauma in your mind and further allowing the programming to be enforced. I'm keeping the Sabbath. Ezekiel 20, 19 through 20. I am the Most High, your power. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Most High, Yah. Exodus 20:8-11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. It's not a time to go barbecue pork, which is breaking his commandments, celebrate something that this carnal world has given you to get you to break Yah's commandments and make you think you've made some progress. Jeremiah 50 says that Yah is our habitation of justice. And there will be no justice or peace until we abide in him. And you're not abiding in him when you're breaking the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Give me a second to fix these scriptures, because I came up with the NIV. We'll get back to the KJV. Deuteronomy 5:12-14. Keep the Sabbath day, sanctify it, as the Most High hath commanded thee. 6 days you'll work. On that seventh day, you chill and rest. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your life. It's not a servitude, but it's a day. It's that one day, if you've been working hard and going through the rigmarole, taking care of your family, it's that one day where you pull kids up close, read some scriptures or listen to some lessons on the internet, but man, you're the pastor of your house, and you pray and y'all get spiritual. You talk about Yah, and you love your life, and you share good stories, and you eat good food that you prepared that Friday. It's when you pull out of the world system. Now listen, we are to occupy until Yah comes back. He said, occupy until I come. You don't have to be as, you know, like not do nothing. You can still build, do things. Let me bless the work of your hands and create. But on that seventh day, I need you to focus up on me. This is what you must be retaught, because you've got Sunday just all up in your minds tomorrow when Sunday comes. What, when Helios pagan worship comes and a false religion that was used to enslave us? So I'm telling you, technically, you are not free. There was no Juneteenth. As a matter of fact, you know, the humorous sad thing about Juneteenth is that it was established in Texas 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, because we were so unlearned and ignorant, we didn't even know we was free. So 2 years later, we found out and then decided to start having a party by barbecue and called it Juneteenth. And furthermore, you don't even see how this world is trying to split this world and cause a race war by having now two independence days. But I digress. You keep your fake holiday. I'm keeping the holy days of Leviticus 23 and the Sabbath being one of the first holy days. Ezekiel 20:19, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them and hallow, set apart my Sabbaths. Let that be a day that's different from any and every other day. Not a day to turn up, as the people always did against Moses in the wilderness. Genesis 2 and 3. This is the key. And Yah blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. Bereshit, Genesis, the first book, the second chapter. It was the seventh day that was blessed by Yah. Who the hell gonna take over what Yah did and say, I'm changing the Sabbath? Who do you think you are? Guess who did that? The Catholic Church in the 1800s established an edict that we're changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And you follow it and you believe it. Come back to Yah. It's the seventh day. And don't play with me about the days. Go look at your calendar. Ain't been changed. What you're steeped in is how you keep it. He rested from his work and created it, and he blessed it, and that is still the day that's blessed. Let's look at the Sabbath, New Testament, Mark 2, 23, 28, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungry? He and they were with him, how he went into the house of Yah in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and they did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So don't think it's a grievous thing. It's made for you to rest, restore your body, restore your flesh, restore your mind. Get some spiritual food. Racketing and reasoning and learn the laws and find out who you are. So therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. Isaiah 58 and 13 warns you about turning your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on the holy day. So you don't go seek to do things that make you happy. Let's go to the game. Let's go to the movies. Let's go to the park. Let's go do, no. You pull back from doing things to appease your flesh and rest and just chill. Chill it on the Sabbath. Matthews talks about the Sabbath. Romans talks about the Sabbath. Colossians 2:16, more Sabbath. Nehemiah, I love Nehemiah. Let me see if I can find the scriptures in Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to restore the Sabbath amongst the people, and he had to put guards at the gate because there were food trucks coming up from other Gentile nations trying to feed people unclean foods. Nehemiah told them, if you come back around the gates that I have locked Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, trying to get my people to break this holy day, I'm going to lay hands on you. Now, that ain't a black man. What is it? It's in the book of Nehemiah. Let me find it. I can hear somebody saying, where's that at? Give me 1 second. Do that scripture. Nehemiah 13:21. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about this wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And if you go further up, you'll find what was happening was, like I said, they kept coming to sell goods to the children of Israel, the Hebrews, around their encampment on the Sabbath to get them to break the Sabbath. This is why on Saturdays you have sales, concerts, movies, all kind of stuff to keep you in a perpetual cycle of breaking Yah's laws, your God. Everything is designed around you to get you in a perpetual cycle of breaking the commandments. With the food, the laws, we got to come back to Yah. And today, now to inculcate this national holiday, every year on this day, you're going to break the Sabbath by trying to go out there and kick it, talking about this Juneteenth, girl. This is, I don't care what it is. What did Yah say? All right, I digress. Let's move on. Captivity captive. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not keeping your holiday. I'm keeping the holy days. I want to move into captivity captive. Listen, Deuteronomy 28:22. Let me read a few precepts. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. This is one of the curses of disobedience of keeping Yah's laws. And this is what's happening with us having comorbidities and underlying conditions. It's because we are under the curse because we're not keeping the laws spoken of in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. This is why we have so many underlying conditions, because of the unclean foods we're eating, high blood pressure, cholesterol, lupus, anxiety, dementia, monkeys on our back. Some of y'all, before I read some more of Deuteronomy 28, I bet you all didn't even know that in Isaiah the fifth chapter, he told us, like, don't wake up in the morning and start drinking and partying as soon as you wake up and drinking cans of beer at 10, 11 in the morning, going on vacation. He said for us not to do that because that's how you get a monkey on your back. This is in Isaiah the fifth chapter. Let's read some more of Deuteronomy 28 about captivity captive. Let's skip this. You should read all of Deuteronomy 28 to understand the condition we're in, but I'm pointing out certain scriptures right now. The 33rd verse, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Skip down to 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations whither thy Lord shall lead thee. The furthering of putting this law got everybody talking about, what is Juneteenth? It's bringing to mind the slavery again to all nations to celebrate you as a slave. You are an astonishment and you're a proverb. You're a byword. That means spit, Negro, nigger, and all these other demeaning terms that they say behind your back because they know they have the upper hand, how they have it, and why they have it. You know, our people, we're the only ones that don't want to believe we're the people and what's going on. But the jig is up. So if you choose not to know and learn, you choose to die and stay in the deception because you're holding on to tradition and customs of man. And we're talking about an ungodly, sinful, wretched man operating under the guise of, oh, we're all Christians and we're in this together. No, we're not. No, we're not. Be ye separate. Let me point out another one. Verse 43 out of Deuteronomy 28 says, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Talking about a holiday. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Most High thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes. That's why you're going through hell. And you're going to accept the holding? Okay, I'm going to keep going. And talking about, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel? Yeah. This is the key verse from Deuteronomy 28. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon your seed forever. The curses that he referenced early will be on the people who are the people of Yah who disobeyed him forever as long as they are disobedient. That's you right now, people. Verse 47, because thou servest not the Most High, thou power, Yah, with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of the things that you have. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Most High shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you mentally. They took the yokes of iron off your neck physically because they had destroyed us mentally with the Willie Lynch syndrome, slavery, and the acceptance of their religions, their Christianity, and their foods. You're broken, you are weak, and disobedient to Yah. And then they started calling you by continents named after other men. You are not to go back to African worships, orishas, and witchcraft. Those are Hamites that worship pagan gods and foreign deities and put bones in their noses and things in their mouths. And they are not cultured people. We left Babylon, fleeing for our lives, came to Timbuktu, built universities, customs, cultures. We had systems. We had health. We had doctors. We had lawyers, attorneys. We had a culture. But they were coming for us, the Spaniards, to make us indentured servants in the name of Christianity. A lot of us became Muslims, trying to hide and hide ourselves from what was coming. But there were people who were saying they were Muslim on the outside, but keeping Hebrew customs and trying to blend it. And we're not Islam because Islam began to play a key role in the transatlantic slave trade. If they found people keeping the Sabbath and Hebrew customs, they were murdered, killed. They didn't convert to Christianity. Psalms 19:7 tells us the only conversion, the law of the Lord, of Yah, is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. So only the law of Yah can bring conversion. You converted to Christianity to save your behind, but it did not take the laws, curses off you, spoken of in Deuteronomy 28. As I mentioned earlier, you need to read all of Deuteronomy 28. It's all good. 64 tells you about the transatlantic slave trade and the sub-Saharan slave trade. It says, and the Most High shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth to the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone, crosses, the Kaaba stone, which was placed in Mecca, which some say purported that there was a fallen deity, which was a fallen angel cast out from heaven that came in the form of a meteorite. Now they go to Mecca every year to march around this stone and kiss it. Listen, verse 65, and among these nations you will find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Most High shall give thee there a trembling, fear, trembling heart, and a failing of eyes to see the truth, and a sorrow of mind. That's why you're always turning up, because you're depressed. You have serious post-traumatic PTSD. Our people don't want to deal with the truth, which is we must repent and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments and keep the Sabbath and the holy days spoken of in Leviticus 23. Let me read a few scriptures for you real quick before we get ready to close out. It's been a full day of information. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the eighth verse. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, Yeshua, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You know, there's nowhere in the scripture where when Yeshua went down after he died and went down to hell and got the keys to death and hell, when he ascended, he brought back some of the dead with him. And there's nowhere in scripture that does not say that when he ascended, he did not take with him those that came, that he pulled out of hell, walked around the earth with him for a few days, that they did not ascend with him. So the captivity he took captive is he's coming to take us captive. We must go up under his captivity because he came to save us and set us free. But we become a slave to the blood, the redemption of Christ. So now we're enslaved to the truth and the law, but we do it with pleasure and joy because we know our salvation is coming and we take joy in being in the kingdom. We are now his captive, which is why he turns around and says, and he gave gifts unto us once we aligned ourselves with him. And we see these gifts are becoming apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Who are the saints? Psalms 148 tells us that the real true Hebrews are the saints, not the ones that the Catholic Church makes into saints every other day. They dob people saints just that they're all, they think they're God, the Vatican. They think they are the Most High. You can't turn a body into a saint. They were still in our culture then. The saints are the ones that were created in his image, the indigenous of the land. And you'll find that is Israel in Psalms 148. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yah, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. Go with me to the book of Amos. Amos, the fifth chapter, covers this whole chapter is talking about Israel. Come back to me. Come back to me. Hear ye the word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. So this was prophecy, but Yeshua came hundreds of years later. But you see, he's calling Israel his vineyard. In Isaiah, the fifth chapter, he gives an analogy of Israel being his vineyard, his people. And we constantly have the prophets trying to get us to restore the land and our faith and belief in him and trust in him. Go to verse 4, Amos 5 and 4. For thus said the Most High unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Skip down to 6. Seek the Most High, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. This is what our captors, these colonizers, know. They want to win by default and take as many of us with them to the lake of fire as possible, that we will be destroyed if we don't come back to Yah, which is why only a third of our people are going to make it in. What must you do? Verse 14, seek good and not evil that you may live, so that the Lord God of hosts shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Most High Yah of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph, meaning Israel. Now, the reason I'm saying this, Northern and Southern Kingdom in reference to, we're living in a time where it's good against evil, evil against good. And that's what is good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. And we've got to come back to Yah and establish judgment. Don't go with this term, urban colloquialism, you can't judge me. No, yes, I can. 2 Corinthians 6 chapter, we're going to judge angels, fallen deities, demons. We're going to judge the world. So you judge from an equal merit. I can't judge you on your adultery if I'm committing adultery. If I've been set free, delivered, and I'm not living that lifestyle, I'm going to judge you. Because Isaiah 58 said, lift up your voice like a trump in Zion and show my people their transgressions and sins. I'm going to tell you about yourself. Because the book of Ezekiel told me, if I don't, your blood is on my hands. And when you die and stand before him, I'm going to have to give an account of why I let you slide in your mess. So you got to have the testicular fortitude to tell people, you know, y'all is not pleased with what you're doing, how you're living, and how you're treating me. Let it be known. You'll lose friends. They probably won't want to come around you, but let your circle be small. Because when the Satan can't get to you, he affects everyone around you that he can get to throw you off and affect your emotions and make you lose your trust and faith in Yah and take your joy and peace from you. And let me say this. I was saying this the other day. People not going to like you anyway. It's just like wearing a certain kind of perfume, and some people going to come around and be like, oh, what's that smell? And then some other people are going to be attracted to it. The God in you, Yah, is going to turn a lot of people off because they've got demons in them that are telling them to run away from you, talk about you, despise you. Because Yeshua said, if this world hated me, they're going to hate you. So come out of her. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together and count it all joy as you go through this life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Most High delivereth us from them all. No weapon formed against you will prosper. So you don't look for validation and vindication from people, family members. Some of them people ain't supposed to be in your circle. Because Yeshua said, I came not to bring peace. I came with a sword. I'm going to separate mother, father, brother, son because of this gospel. They're not going to like you. Because the other ones are into falsehood. They want to kick it with the tares because we are the world. And while they're kicking it with the tares, they want to live in Christianity because I can do whatever I want. And I'm a party. And you think you all that. You holier than thou? Who made you God? You get all these negative sentiments, but you on par. You on course. You on par. Because you're going to obey Yah and not man. Let's read some more of Amos. Skip to 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. For what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is going to be dark and not light. That's talking about Armageddon and when Yeshua comes back and calls the people into that area of desolation where all the armies will gather. We're going to go into some dark times. But as someone said to me yesterday, it's just like that baby getting ready to go through the birth canal and it's dark and then suddenly there's light and you take breath. We will see a new kingdom, and the earth restored back to the original promise given to Adam and immortality and life once we go through the darkness. You just better hope you can stand. 21, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. He's saying, I don't care about your holidays and your feast days, your Thanksgivings, your Juneteenths. You doing the stuff on Easter and Christmas. He's like, I despise your feast days. Because the ones I call for are my feast days. Leviticus 23. Verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Let me read one more. And then we'll be done for the day. Obadiah. Let's go to Obadiah. Book of Obadiah. I think I want to cover verse 20. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yah's. He's going to lead captivity captive. Skip back down. So let me let the precept explain it to you. Go to verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. This is when they grabbed us and we went into our captivity. But we became captive under Yah's commandments and laws. He's going to free us from our captivity. He's going to free us from our slavery and the curses of Deuteronomy 28. But we have to become, check this out, captivated by Yeshua. Enamored with Yah. And adhere to his customs and laws, because these are the statutes which you will be judged by And these are the things that merit you being in his kingdom. You don't come to my town, my city, living any kind of way and doing what you want to do. You better check in. There's laws. And that's what Yah is saying. You need to come back to the laws, because this world is trying to get you to desecrate yourself, the temple, Yah, who you are as a people, by keeping foreigners' customs. We constantly got in trouble with Yah by saying, give us a king. Give us these customs. We want to do everything they do. This is your culture, and come back to it. It's been my time. And I'm going to close saying what I always say, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey and not a destination. Be prepared to relearn everything you've been taught. Come back to the Most High. Keep his holy days. I adjure you, please come back to the Most High. Stick with him. We're in biblical, prophetic times. You're about to see the book of Eli. Them, the word is disappearing and wrapping up. Everything that's transpiring is being expedited. Weeks are going by like days, because he said, unless there's a shortness of time, no flesh will be saved. Ain't none of y'all gonna make it through this, because Satan is ramping everything up because he's running out of time. And he knew he had a short time, and he's ticked off, and he wants you, Yah's creation. Come out of her, my people, and be dead. Until next time, Shabbat Shalom, peace and blessings.